Okay, so let's try to again. Yesterday we did Rav Asher Weiss's phenomenally interesting chiddush in the first process in the Masechta, his idea that it's not that Eidos needs to be Yachal Azima, because if you don't have Yachal Azima, it's going to be Chashash Meshaker, that people are going to lie if they think that they might get caught. No, he said that's not the Yisod at all. That's not why you need Eidos Shati Yachal Azima. You need Eidos Shati Yachal Azima because whenever you have a din, a general din, and there are details in the din, the details must always have the ability to apply. If there's a situation where the details can't apply, the whole din drops out, the whole din falls away. That was what we saw from Rav Asher Weiss yesterday. So what I want to focus on today is the following. The Tosos at the very end raises another question. At the very end of Tosos and of Beis Amud Aleph, Tosfos raises the question that when you testify that someone's a ben, let's start with this. How many witnesses do you need to be believed in Judaism? Not a trick question. How many witnesses do you need to prove something in Judaism? Two witnesses, right? Al Tishnei Meidim Yakum Davar. You always need two witnesses. If Reuven lends money to Shimon, it's two witnesses that he lent him the money. If Reuven kills Shimon, you need two witnesses if you want to kill Reuven. If you want to get married or divorced, you need two witnesses at the wedding or at the get in order for anything to work in Judaism. Are there exceptions to that rule? So one exception we discussed yesterday, Eidach Adam B'Surin. And when it comes to Isra V'Heter, it comes to kosher, you come home, mom, how do I know dinner is kosher? And she says, because I said so. That's all you need. You don't need more than because I said so. Eidach Adam Zneman B'Surin. When it comes to ritual law, you can trust an Eid Echel, and that Eid Echel could even be an Isha. It doesn't have to be a Kasher Eid. We believe one witness in that situation. So now, given that Eid Echel is Neman when it comes to Isser V'Heter, our Mishnah spoke about a case where two people testify that someone's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. What is that? How would you categorize that? Is that a monetary issue? Is that a Dini Nefashos issue? Is that Isser V'Heter? Is it a Davar Shebi Erva? What exactly is that? Davar Shebi Erva would be by Gittin, by Kiddushin, someone cheated on somebody, you know, something like that. Dina Nefashos, someone killed somebody, someone was Michal Shabbos, you need to wait. Monetary issue? Someone lent some money, stole something, damaged him, you need to wait. Isser V'Heter is all of ritual law. This mikveh is kosher, this food is kosher, what's saying that someone's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza? So Frank Tosos, it seems that when you testify someone's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, what you're really doing is you're commenting on Isser V'Heter. You're commenting on something that should really be Isurim. It's not a Davar Shebi Erva. It's not Dinim Mamonis. It's not Dinim Fashos. It's Isser V'Heter. Why is it Isser V'Heter? When you're declaring someone Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, what are you saying about him? That he's what? He's a Pasul Kohen, and therefore what? Can't eat Truma. So this food is not kosher for him. Can't Duchen. So we should not, you know, shouldn't get the first Aliyah. You need Shnei Edim for any of these things? To say that someone's a Kohen to, yes, be able to Duchen. You need two witnesses? You need two witnesses. How do they decide who to give the first Aliyah to in Moshul's? Do we have a Kohen here? Yeah, I'm a Kohen. Okay. Where are your witnesses? That's good enough. We don't need two witnesses for any of these things. So by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, why is it that there are two witnesses in the first place testifying that someone's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? So if you look at the end of Tosos, V'yesh L'daktek, in the last 5-6 lines of the first Tosos in the Masechta, V'yesh L'daktek, Amaylo nakad midin anu bish ploni shum mamzer, Dizeh hava shayich bein b'Yisrael bein b'Kohanim, u'ben Grusha l'pasal. Tosos actually asks a different question. I'm raising a new question. But Tosos asks a different question. We'll see one answer will answer both questions. Tosos says, I don't understand. What's the case of our Mishnah? You testify that someone's a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza. And we say, since you testified about his status, and as the Gemara explains, that status doesn't only affect him, it's going to affect his children also, because if he's not a Kohen, if daddy's not a Kohen, then the kid's not a Kohen either. You can't become, we can't do Kasher Zamam to you, because we're not allowed to affect your children. Vasisam lo kasher zamam, lo v'lo lezaro. We can only do to him what he wanted to do to the other guy. We can't affect his children. And we can't just make the Edim Chalalim and not make their children Chalalim, because that's not Kasher Zavam. That's not what he plotted to do to the other guy. He wanted to ruin the other guy's whole family. But if you wanted to give an example of it, testifying about a Yichus-related issue that's going to ruin the guy and his offspring, there's a much better Yichus-related issue to have picked. You could have said, he's a mamzer. If you testify that he's a mamzer, it should be the same halacha, right? I testify that someone's a mamzer. So what am I saying? I'm saying that he's pasul lava bakal, he's not allowed to marry a regular Jew, he can only marry mamzeres or giores. And his children are mamzerim. And what, you want to do kasher zamam to me? So what are you going to do? You're going to make me and my children mamzerim? You're not allowed to affect my children. You're going to make only me a mamzer? Well, then it's not kasher zamam. It's not what I tried to do to him. So I must get malkus. So why don't we use that as the example? Why Ben Grusha Mechalutza? It's not just, why do we choose this example, not another example? Tosfos points out, it's a much better example. Mamzer is a much better example. Why is it a much better example? Because it applies to a broader swath of the Jewish community, namely, all of it. Who can you claim is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? You're very limited in who it matters to. Only Kohanim. And even a hava amina of doing kasher zamam to edim who say ben grusha ben chalutza would only work if the edim themselves are kohanim. Otherwise, it's ridiculous. I mean, we wouldn't even have a hava amina to do kasher zamam. What are we going to say? That you're a chalal? I'm a Yisrael. I can't be. Of course, I'm a chalal. I'm not a kohen. So we wouldn't even have had a hava amina to make them a ben grusha ben chalutza unless they're kohanim. But by mamzerus, the case works much better because they could be saying it about any Jew. And a hava amina to do kasher zamam to them would apply to whoever the edim are, as long as they're Jewish. You can make them into mamzerim. Or we would think you can make them into mamzerim. So shouldn't the Mishnah have said a much better chiddush? Tell me that if two people testify that someone's a mamzer, that they become, that they get malchus instead of getting kasher zamam. V'yesh l'taktik. Amai lo nakad midin anu bishploni shu mamzer. Why don't we say that they testify that someone's a mamzer? Does that have a shaykh, bein b'Yisrael, bein b'kohanim? That would apply both to Yisrael and to Kohanim. U ben grusha lo pasul ela b'kohanim. Ben grusha is something that only relates to Kohanim. So it says Taisus Yesh li Yashiv de nakte mishum de koi azomim me bas kohen kidi isa b'gemara ul kach nakan midi de shayach b'kohuna. Remember the Gemara started out by saying, why in the world are we talking about the exceptions to kasher zamam? Why don't we talk about the actual cases of kasher zamam? Meaning, if you want to give me an example of how kasher zamam works, we should have started with the Mishnah on Daf Hey, not with the Mishnah on Daf Beis. So the Gemara said, oh no, the reason why we're talking about the exceptions to kasher zamam is that we're leaving off from Masech Sanhedrin, Perek HaNechnakin, which is the last thing we learned in Sanhedrin, even though it's not really, the last Perek of Sanhedrin, and that's where we discussed the idea of where you're only getting a partial kasher zamam. So once we're going from the partial kasher zamam, so we talk about the case where you don't get kasher zamam at all. So says Tosos, that same answer that the Gemara gives as to why we start with this case will also explain why we start with Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza as the example, not with Mamzer, because Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is a Kohen related issue, and the last case we discussed Sanhedrin was Ede Bas Kohen Uboala. Zomme Bas Kohen Uboala. It was about a Kohen related issue. Anyone else cheats on their husband, they get the same onesh as the guy that they slept with. But this girl, because she's a Bas Kohen, gets Srefa Nachenach. She gets a more severe onesh. So it's specifically about a Bas Kohen. So now, if we're keeping score at home, we've now seen between the Gemara and Rishonim how the fact that the end of that in Parak HaNechnakin we discussed Zomei Bas Kohen between the Gemara and the Rishonim now answers three different questions. Remember, we have the Gemara's question, why don't we start with the case where we do kasher zamam? We had the Ritva who raised the question, why in the world do we start Makos with any discussion of Edim Zomim? We should start Makos with Eluhei HaLokin. These are the people that get Malkus. Why would we even talk about Edim Zomim at the beginning of this Masechta? It's a weird way to start Malkus. And he said, oh, but we're doing it because Zomim Bas Kohen Bo'olah, which we just learned in Sanhedrin, so it picks up from there. And now we have Tosfos answering why it is that we don't talk about a case of Mamzer, we talk about a case about Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, because we're picking up with Zomim Bas Kohen Bo'olah. So that one Yesod answers three different questions. It answers the Gemara's questions and two different questions that the Rishonim ask. I wanted to share with you something that Mori Varabi has in his Sefer. in Eretz Tzvi, that I thought was very fascinating, relates to this sugya. Very fascinating chiddush. Turn to page 20, no, not 24, that's in my high school packet. I'm not going to do this with them anyway. I don't know what page it is. Whatever, it's toward the end. Eretz Tzvi, the page of Eretz Tzvi. 15, okay. So, Hazama Beidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, the paragraph that starts with that bolded phrase. Ulinin Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Nami Nir Lefarish Al Pia Signon Hanal. He's picking up on what he said in the last paragraph. We'll leave that aside now. The Isa B'Sugya Kamaisa de Maseches Makos. The first Sugya Maseches Makos says, She Yeshna Leparshas Hazama Be'edei Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That there is some Hazama that we do for Edim of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. It's just that we carry out that Hazama not by making them Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but rather by giving them Malkos. Fine. Pirush Rashi Shama, and Rashi explains, what's an example? How do you make someone a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? How do you testify that someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? What did you say exactly? Without looking at Rashi, what would you have said? When you're testifying someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, what would you have said? What do I say to the Beis Din? I come to Beis Din, that guy is not a Kohen, he's a Chalal. Oh yeah? What do you know? What do you know about him? What would you say? What's your response? What do you know about him that makes him a Chalal? No, so tell me what you think Rashi says.
That his mother got divorced and then got married and had him.
That his mother was divorced, then got married and had him. Dafka in that order. She was divorced, then she got married and had him. So he was conceived when?
After she got married to a Kohen.
After she was divorced,
yeah.
Right? She was conceived after she was divorced and was married to a Kohen.
Say that.
What? It happens to be Rashi doesn't say that. He sort of says it, but he says something stranger because Rashi says Bifanenu Niskarshim called him Shenolad, that the Gerushin happened before he was born, which is very strange because it shouldn't matter if the Gerushin happened before he was born, as long as the Gerushin happened before the Gerushin would have had to have happened not before he was born, but before he was conceived. Okay. Pirush Rashi Shama, Sheidu Edim Shenaskar Shima Kodim Shnol Zeh. Bechenu Lashna, Rambam Perachaf Meidu Salach Ches, and the Rambam says also, Sheidu Pefneinu Naskar Shima Nechletza Vechule. Ubi Meiri Hevi Pirush Acher, but the Meiri says something totally different. De Meiri Sheshamu Me'aviv Sha'amar Beniza Ben Grushahu. You hear? The Meiri says, what are they testifying? I don't know anything about who conceived what. That's somebody else's business, you know. I'm not involved. All I know is I used to sit next to the guy. I used to sit next to the guy's father in shul, and he used to say, "Ah, Nebuch, I'm a Kohen, but I turned my kid into a Chalal. My kid's not a Kohen; he's a Ben Grusha because I married a Grusha." That's all I know. The father used to say it. He used to tell me all the time. Why does Rashi not want to say it like that? Is that good evidence that he's Ben Grusha?
No.
The father said that Bini Zechalo, my son is a Chalo. So is that good evidence? Vayin Shom Bnei Yeshua Al Divrei Rashi Alalu Demai Duch Geluk Mila Masnis and Dafka Bchei Gavna Tal Yachal Amidu Bemidim Shani Yodim Shaploni Ben Grusha Okay Yesh Fash Shabi Yanal Bnei Yeshua Asked the Kasha. Why did Rashi not want to say it more simply instead of knowing what's going on in people's histories and marriages and bedrooms or whatever? Just say that you know. You sat next to the guy's father in shul, and he said that his son is a chalal.
You can't be an aid on yourself. He's the father's also good daughter, so you can't be an aid on saying that his son is a.
Is that the halacha?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so we have to. Meaning, l'chori, you should be right, but it happens to not be right. I mean, the father says his son is a chalal, he is believed that his son is a chalal. A father is nemut to say that his son is chalal. So just say, I heard the father say it. V'nira lefareish to be'emes kasha bosa sugi demakas. So Rosh Hashanah says, in order to answer this question on Rashi, follow along here, because it's unbelievable. Genius of Rosh Hashanah. He says, in order to answer this question on Rashi, he says, we have another problem in the sugya. Da lo yiseid harav nesivas hamishpat, da lesa leparshas hazama el be'idus tebaya be'zad edim ksherim. You can only, and the Nesivus has a yesod, that Edim Zomen only applies in situations that you need two kosher witnesses. If you have a situation that doesn't require two kosher witnesses, like, for example, we said before, is my dinner kosher? If it's something that doesn't require two kosher Edim, there's no Torah Hazama. If my mother says, the dinner, my wife says, when I come home tonight, that I made you dinner and it's kosher, and how do I know it's kosher? Because I bought it from the supermarket at 3 o'clock today, and I came home and I cooked it at 4 o'clock today. Otherwise, she should be home from work by then. She's not. But it's kosher. And then people come along and say, what do you mean? You're with us in the office still at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So is she an Eid Zomim? No. Eid Zomim only applies when you on matters that require two kosher witnesses. V'lo b'din Eid Echanem Bisurim. We don't say Eid Zomim by Eid Echanem Bisurim related issues. So now I have a kashi, says, V'imkein Tzorech Iyun, Heich Shaycha Zomim B'chlal Be'edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. How do you even have Eidim Zom by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Isn't it Eid Echanem Bisurim territory? Like we said before? So he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, so he can't get the first Aliyah, so he can't Tuchen, so he can't eat Truma. These are all Isurim and Mitzvahs. None of those things are Davar Shabi Erva, none of those things are Dinim Amenis. It's all Isurim and Mitzvahs, should be Eid Echanem Bisurim territory. Umena Hechrech Lomar, what you have to say is, De Eidus Zu Chashiva Kidavar Shabi Erva Ubayashnayim. That this is considered a Davar Shabi Erva. It's considered a marriage and divorce related issue. An arayos related issue. And for those you need two witnesses.
Question?
No, the Gemara rejected that Kal v'chomer. The Gemara said,
another possibility why you never, why you would not have Ben Grusha Mechutza.
No, our conclusion is that we do make Edim Zomim by Ben Grusha Mechutza. We just don't do Kasher Zomim to them. We give them Malkus. He's saying we should never become Edim Zomim in the first place because it's just an Eid Echanem Bisurim. The Gemara never says that.
No, I think the Gemara says that because of the Kal v'chomer that was rejected, though, we should have thought that you never had Edim Zomim.
The Gemara said we would have thought not to do Kasher Zaman to them. Not to have Edom Zaman, not to do Kasher Zaman. Not to give to them what they tried to do to the other guy. But they would still become Edom Zaman. That Kal v'chomer that the Gemara suggests would have been reason to call them Edom Zaman, make them possible, give them Malkus, but don't do to them what they tried to do to the other guy. That's what the Gemara was doing, so it's different. So now, based on that, what do we have so far? He started off by saying the Gemara, the Mishnah talks about the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Rashi says, what's the case that I'm testifying Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? I'm testifying that before this child was born, his mother was divorced. But the Meiri says, much simpler, I sat next to the guy's father in shul and he told me that Benizah, Ben Grusha. Why doesn't Rashi want to say like the Meiri? So he says, anyway, the whole Sugya Makos is difficult because isn't Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza an Eid Echanem Bisurin issue? It shouldn't even be a two Eidim issue. And the Nesivus Yisod is, if it's not a two Eidim issue, then there's no Eidim Zom. Eidim Zom only applies to matters of Halacha that require two full Eidim. So says Rav Shechter, V'nira Dizeh Huk Shalol Rashi. This is what bothered Rashi. My time Chashiv Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Kedavar Shabi Arva Shia Tzarek L'Shne Eidim. Why is Be'edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza considered a Davar Shabi Arva? Considered a marriage, divorce, arayos related matter and not just Isser. After all, we just said when I'm calling him Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, what am I doing to him? Not eat Truma, not get the first Aliyah. Those are all Isurim. Halo Inyan Chalolos Einu Ela Kishar Isurim. Being a chalal is only like other isurim. The less say the Rashi svaras hamachne afrayim v'ashmeitzah the chaledus habal levar chalos shem shalagavr chashuv v'kdavr shabiyavr. Rashi doesn't hold that any time you're determining status of a person, it's automatically a davar shabiyavr. El sfir lekag the rasul the alpi achavistas the dafka b'midim al chalos ishus o alafka asu the chashuv davar shabiyavr. Davar shabiyavr means marriage or divorce. That's davar shabiyavr, not just any time it's someone's status at stake. So yeah, his status is at stake, but according to Rashi, that doesn't make it a davar shabiyavr. What makes it a davar shabiyavr is something that relates to marriage or divorce. So that's why Rashi says the case must not be that you testified, that you sat next to the guy's father and shul and he told you the sons of Ben Grusha. You know why? We wouldn't have needed two Eidim to testify that. You only would have needed one Eid. That's Eid Echanem Bisurim. The case is Hulzapirush Rashi Demirish Hidush and Isgarshi Imo, that they're testifying that the guy's mother was divorced before he was conceived. And now you need to wait them to say that. Because now they're testifying about a divorce. And when you testify about marriage and divorce, this is Davar Shebi'erva. Think about this for a second. Two sets of witnesses come to court. Reuben and Shimon say that Mr. Cohn is a chalal. Levi and Yehuda say Mr. Cohn is a chalal. But based on the way they say it, Reuben and Shimon may be a Davar Shebi'erva edus, and Levi and Yehuda may be an Erech and Embisurin edus, not a Davar Shebi'erva edus. Crazy, no? The end result of what they're saying is that he's a challah. They're both sets are saying he's a challah. Or imagine this. Reuven comes in and says he's a challah. Shimon comes in and says he's a challah. We tell Reuven, sorry, we're not listening to you. You need to aid him to say what you're saying. And we tell Shimon, ah, shkayach, we'll listen to you. Eirech nem bisurin. They're both saying the same thing, same result. He's a challah. But it's not the totsa'a of the edus that we look at, the result of the edus, it's the tochen ha'edus, the content of the edus. If Reuven comes into court and says, he's a chalal, and you know how I know? Because his mother was divorced before he was conceived by his father, who's a Kohen. We say, sorry, Reuven, that's a davar shebi'erva. You said the word divorced in your testimony. That's a davar shebi'erva. We can't listen to you. You're only one guy. Comes along Shimon and he says, I know that he's a chalal because I sat next to his father in shul and his father told me, B'ni zeh chalal. Shkayach Shimon, that we can listen to. Eirech anem b'yisurin. The same result, but a different tochen ha'edus. And maybe one will be considered davar shebi'erva and the other will be considered eirech anem b'yisurin. And that's what Rashi was doing. Rashi was setting up an edus that's a davar shebi'erva. And that's why you needed two edim. And because you needed two edim to say what they said, to have that content of edus, they're eligible to become edim zom. If two edim would have come into Bezin and said that the guy's father told us b'ni zeh chalal, they would never be able to become edim zom. Because you don't need two edim to say b'ni zeh chalal. You only need one. Shetocher edusam haya al maisa gerushin. The content of the redus was about the divorce. Tainu alaf kas ishus, which is an uprooting of marriage. V'yaftein bezin danamachshav al imo ela alav. And even though Bezin right now doesn't really care about his mother might be dead for 20 years already. So we're not really judging her marriage right now. What are we judging? We're judging the kid, whether he's a Kohen or not. And as far as the kid is concerned, we're dealing with a matter of Isra v'heter. The idea of Davar Shebi'erva requiring two edim is not dependent on the purpose of the testimony, but rather the content of the testimony. The purpose of the testimony is purely Yisr V'heter. Can't get the first aliyah, whatever. Purely Yisr V'heter. The content of the testimony had that key word. What was that word? Niskarsha. She was divorced. Val mahim yidim v'kan shabau lahel al maisa gerushin af shetachlis v'yilu seydusun bezin yirak benogel lipsak din bedin chalolus mikol makom chashiv k'davar shebi'erva. Even though the tachlis of what they were doing, the purpose was for Isra v'heter, it still counts as davar shebi'erva. Ulefi bi'ureinu b'shitas Rashi, and based on our explanation of Rashi, musulekas kushyas atosus tahasam. Now's the kicker, he says. Now I understand why Tosus says what he says. Why the Mishnah says what it says. We can answer Tosus kasha. What was Tosus kasha at the end of Tosus? You want to give an example where I question someone's yichus? And to do kasha zama to make me an eid zomeim, you can't do kasha zama because you can't ruin my whole yichus. You're not allowed to ruin my children, so I get malchus instead. Frektosos, if you want to give an example of ruining someone's yichus, pick a case where you call him a mamzer. Why are you picking a case where you call him ben grusha ben chalutza? What's the answer? If you're calling him a mamzer, What are you saying? What are you testifying about? Isser v'heter. If you're testifying about Isser v'heter, then it's not even Shaykh b'Torah Sazama. Eid Echad is Neman. It's Dafka when you're saying it's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, because now you're talking about divorce. If you say Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, now you're talking about divorce. Says Rav Shechter, Elthibi Arin, Bishit Rashi, Mislak, Es Kushis HaTolz Tassam. We can answer the Tolz Kasha. Shehik Shach Masnissam, Milo Nakam Midman Bishponi Shu Mamzer. Why don't we just say the case that he says he's a Mamzer? Dizeh have a Shaykh Bain be Israel, Bain be Kohanim. And that could have applied to everybody, Kohanim, Israel, and the like. Or Ben Grusha Lopasol be Kohanim, Ben Grusha is only be Kohanim. According to the Chavzdas, which this whole Shtickle Torah is based on, it's not a kasha. To say that someone's a mamzer is not a davar shabierva. You only would have needed eirechad. And whenever you have eirechad and v'isurim, there's no azama at all. Brilliant, no? Why didn't Tosfos give that answer? Good. Let's just take that one step further. So first of all, but that does answer Tosfos Kasha, right? This whole Shtickle Torah would answer Tosfos Kasha. Lefi Shitas Rashi. According to Shitas Rashi, that the Eidus of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza has to be with the word divorce in it, Rashi is not going to be bothered by Tosfos Kasha. Because Hazama doesn't have the word, because saying Mamzerus doesn't have the word divorce in it, so Mele is not going to be bothered by Tosfos Kasha. Of course that's not going to be in the Parsha of Edom Zomri. So why didn't Tosfos give that answer? Or I'll ask you one better. What does the Meiri say? The Meiri said, what's Eidus of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? You testify that you sat next to the guy's father in shul and he used to tell you, oh yeah, you see that kid of mine? Ben Grusha. He's a chalal. Isn't he a cute little chalal? So that was what the Miri didn't think that you need a Shnei Edim type of Edus in order to make people Edim Zomim. Next paragraph. Vidasa Miri Sheyesh Hazama Af B'Meidim Al Chalal Skufa, that there is Hazama even if you just testify that the person is a Chalal. V'lo Be'inan Sheyidu B'Dafka Amaisa Gerishin. In order to qualify as a davar shabierva, you don't have to testify about an event of gerushin. Sarach lomar desfira lekadash Rabbi Kivega v'machna Afrayim. Why? The Meiri must hold like Rabbi Kivega the Machna Afrayim, or the Machna Afrayim and Rabbi Kivega like Meiri. To call edus shenogea lechalos shem sha'ala gavra chashuv v'kadavar shabierva. That any edus that determines a person's status is automatically a davar shabierva. Status related issues, davar shabierva. Va'af edus ha-mamzerus, bayishnayim. And edus ha-mamzerus would also require two witnesses. Why? Because it is a davar shabierva. It's status related. Rashi's shita is that in order to qualify as a davar shabierva, you need one of the key words, divorce, marriage. You need that to be the content of the edus. But the Meiri must hold, and Tosos must hold, that in order to qualify as davar shabierva, it doesn't have to have the words marriage and divorce. It just has to be about a person's status. Is he a chalal, a kayin, is he a mamzer, a nasa? What is he? That's davar shabierva also. Ube'emes kach chasav miri shama lahedya kadas taisus hanal, diyesh hazama af beidus hamamzerus. And the Miri says it explicitly, that there would be azama if people testified about mamzerus. According to Rashi, there wouldn't be. There's no azama when people testify about mamzerus because it's an eirechad and v'isurin issue. Now here's the part that I'm stuck on. Maybe I'm just not thinking clearly. When you say someone's a mamzer, what are you saying about them? How does a person become a mamzer? The parents were bad people. In what way? Adultery. Right? They committed adultery. So I have multiple ways that I could say someone was a mamzer. I could say we have a chazaka that a Zaidi was a mamzer. I went to the cemetery and I saw by his Elta Zaidi's kever, it said, here lies the mamzer of whatever. So we have evidence that the Zaidi was a mamzer. If the Zaidi's a mamzer, he's a mamzer. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is I could say, mom and dad were committing adultery. He was conceived out of an adulterous union. Well, I mean, she's an Eish HaSish. His mother was an Eish HaSish, and the father was not her husband. It was someone else. Her husband at the time of conception was out of town for months, so we know for sure he wasn't the husband. Wasn't the father, rather. And the father's not the husband. What was Rav Shechter's geder of what's called the Davar Shebi'erva? Eidus ben Grusha ben Chalutza, he said, sometimes is a Davar Shebi'erva, sometimes not a Davar Shebi'erva. When is it not a Davar Shebi'erva? Eidus ben Grusha ben Chalutza, when is it not a Davar Shebi'erva? The way he said it? But whenever divorce is not in the content, it's not a Davar Shebi'erva. Meaning, the content of the Eidus is, I sat next to the father in shul, told me his son is a Ben Grusha. When is it a Davar Shebi'erva? When I say, oh, he's a Ben Grusha because I know that there was a divorce, and right after the divorce, he was conceived. So divorce is in the content. What about Mamzerus? He's taken for a Davar Pasha, Mamzerus is not a Davar Shebi'erva. Why does he assume that? Shouldn't it depend on the content of the Eidus? How do you call something? I'm going to go into Beis and I'm going to say, this guy's a mamzer. What's Beis going to ask me? How do you know? What did you see? What makes him a mamzer? So I'm going to have to respond. So I could respond, I saw the Elter Zedis Kever. Okay, granted, that's not a Davar Shebi'erva. But I also could respond, you know how I know? Because I knew that family before the war. And I know that the mother was married to this guy who then became a communist and, you know, didn't die in the war and, you know, went off to Russia or something, and she's still married to that guy, and then she, after the war, got remarried to another guy and had this whole family, and they're all mamzerim. And what am I testifying about? A marriage. And I'm testifying about Eish HaSish. Is that not Davar Shebi'erva? No, of course it's Davar Shebi'erva. So I don't chap, this is why I don't understand why he assumes that Eidus of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is a better example for the Mishnah to have used than Mamzerus, because the Tochen Eidus, the content of the Eidus of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, might not be a Davar Shebi'erva, could be a Davar Shebi'erva. Whereas Eidus of Mamzerus could never be a Davar Shebi'erva. What do you mean? Of course Eidus of Mamzerus could be a Davar Shebi'erva by this geder. All you need to mention is marriage in it, and it's a Davar Shebi'erva. And that's often the crux of the whole Eidus of Mamzerus. I know that this person was married to another man when she conceived that child with this man. So that's marriage. That should be Davar Shebi'erva. And Vaita, we're back to Tosfos Kasha. You could have given an example of two Eidim saying that someone's a mamzer. Why do you give the example of two Eidim saying Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? So Shechter wanted to say no, because two Eidim saying that someone's a mamzer is Eidach and Bisurin, and therefore it's not Bitoras Hazama. Doesn't enter the parsh of Eidim Zomim. No! Who says that it's Eidach and Bisurin? Maybe in the content of the Eidus, they're talking about Ishos, they're talking about marriage. It's likely that in their testimony they're talking about marriage. And then it's Davar Shebi'erva, just like Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is Davar Shebi'erva. So I got a real geschmack when I read this piece. I just don't understand. I don't understand how it follows through. I have to ask him. Truth is, I should probably read the rest of the piece and see if he addresses it. Maybe I'll do that before I call. That's what I wrote in the next paragraph. What are you talking about? All right, what I want to do tomorrow, and let me tell you what to do in Seder tomorrow. I want to focus on the Gemara on Amud Beis, particularly the bottom of Amud Beis. What happens starting in the second wide line of Amud Beis is the Gemara goes through and the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Are there only two cases where we don't do Kasha Zama? Maybe there are more. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa that in fact quotes four cases where we don't do Kasha Zama. We have our case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. We have the case of Galus that it said in the Mishnah, and then we have a case of Kofar and a case of Eved Ivri. What? Another case of Galus. And then you have Rabbi Kiva with his potentially a fifth case, right? So the Gemara is going to discuss each of the, well, the first two the Gemara just blows off right away and says, okay, we already discussed those. And then the Gemara is going to discuss cases 3, 4, and 5. So I want to look into what the Gemara has to say about that. I will give Bez Hashem Numar Makomos tomorrow morning. But key is make sure you know the Gemara Rashi on those cases 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll get working on that sugya, God willing. Okay, have a great day.